You know, this is time of year when we make resolutions. And people all make the resolutions, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And usually, but Tommy Lasorda, he was a manager for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and I always liked him. Tommy said that he sat down and he looked at his cigarettes one day, and he spoke to that cigarette, and he said, I want to know who is stronger. He said he waited a moment, and he looked and said, it's me. And so he quit smoking. He said then, one day he was drinking a martini, vodka martini, and he looked at that vodka martini, and he said, I want to know who is stronger. And he looked at the martini, and he said, it's me. And he said, that's the day I quit drinking vodka martinis. He was sitting down one night, and he had a linguine with clam sauce on it. And he looked at that linguine with clam sauce, and he said, I want to know who's stronger. And the clam looked up at him and said, it is me. And he said, I still have never got stronger than linguine with clam sauce. So that's kind of how our lots of times our New Year's resolutions go. Today is called just that. I'm not in a sermon series, and I get these opportunities just to kind of speak from my heart and without so much of an agenda. So I just want to talk to you today from my heart. So it's going to be probably a little bit different sermon, but you know, 23 years ago, I came here, and one of the things I laid out that I wanted us to keep forefront was understanding the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and understanding how we go forward into the future with our worship style. And if you look, there are basically three worship styles in the church today, and that's the church, universal church. There's three worship styles. One of them is the liturgical worship style. This is the worship style of a lot of the high churches. And the liturgical worship style, the emphasis is the service is about ceremony. So you have incense. There's a lot of emphasis given to the sacraments. And then the buildings are usually tall. The architectural style is tall and large, and you go in and there's a sense of awe, reverence. And that gives emphasis to God the Father, the Trinity. The second worship style you have is what you call evangelical worship style. That's the worship style that's predominant in this area here, but it's an evangelical worship style. In the evangelical worship style, the style is preaching. And that's the reason why most evangelical churches, and particularly Baptists and churches, Nazarene, Free Will Baptist, it's all about let that preacher preach that sermon, and then after that sermon, sing 30 verses of Just As I Am, give an altar call, and that's what the service is about. Because the emphasis in those churches is about the Son, Jesus Christ, and salvation. And their architectural style is built around Sunday school rooms and discipleship, because it's big on discipleship. So that's the style of the evangelical church. And then you've got the third worship style is what we call the Pentecostal. And the worship style of Pentecostals is celebration. And the emphasis in the Pentecostal worship style is the Holy Spirit. And so what you have, and their architecture style, Pentecostals can have church anywhere. If you go by a storefront and they say, gather in here, that's a Pentecostal church. Because it doesn't. They don't even need a building to have church, okay? Pentecostals just have put music together and let's celebrate. And that's the Pentecostal word. All three are very important. And all three give a certain aspect or view of the Trinity. What I wanted us to incorporate here was all three in one church. That's the reason why we have the candles and candles of hope. We have communion that's offered every service for those that would like communion. We have the prayer wall for those that people want to put their prayer request in. We made it just with we wanted that element of reverence and awe to God the Father. We also want to communicate salvation, Jesus Christ, and the work of the Son. and the importance of what he has done in salvation and sanctification. You know, we got in discussion the other night about the sovereignty of God. We talked, you know, salvation is the work of God. Sanctification is where you become engaged in the process. Salvation is where God reached us. He redeemed us. He drew us to himself. Sanctification is where I start looking at his word and growing, and my life starts being conformed and made into the image of God. It's the painful part. It's the part of us that we struggle with, because it's that being clay in the potter's hand. And when the potter starts making us, molding us, we want to say, but that's not me. And the potter says, it's not about you. It's about how I have designed your life. And so that's sanctification. And so what I wanted us to see was that those three aspects of the Trinity, and for us to incorporate that into our worship, because I believe there's power when we do that. I believe there is incredible strength when there's this awe of God. There's the realization of what Christ has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And then there's this power that comes with us knowing we have the Holy Spirit in our lives today, that we can live out this experience with the Holy Spirit today. And so walking in that has been very important. And so I'd like to take time from time to time and walk back and kind of share that again. Today, I also want us to lead into a part that has been important for me lately as I've come to share with people and talk with people. And so turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. It's just 1 John 1 through 10. From the very first day we were there, taking it all in, we heard it with our own ears, saw it with our own eyes, and verified it with our own hands. The word of life appeared right before our eyes. We saw it happen. And now we're telling you in most wonderful prose that what we witnessed was incredibly this. The infinite life of God himself took shape before us. Now, I want you to realize he's spoken to us and said, now this is what we saw, but here is where the emphasis is at. We saw it, we heard it, now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Our motive for writing is simply this. We want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double our joy. This, in essence, is the message we heard from Christ and are passing on to you. God is light, pure light. There's not a trace of darkness in him. And if we claim that we experienced a shared life with him and continue to stumble around in the dark, we're obviously lying through our teeth. We're not living what we claim. But if we walk in the light, God himself being the light, we also experience a shared life. And I want you to underline that. We experienced a shared life with one another. As a sacrificed blood of Jesus, God's Son, purges all our sins. If we claim we're free of sin, we're only fooling ourselves. A claim like that is arrant nonsense. On the other hand, if we admit our sins, make a clean break of them, he won't let us down. He'll be true to himself. He'll forgive our sins and purge us all our wrongdoing. If we claim that we've never sinned, we out and out contradict God, make a liar out of him. A claim like that only shows off our ignorance of God. I am really bothered by something I see culturally going on, and it's a huge sense of entitlement. I see this not only in young people, I see it in older folks. I see it in us. We have this huge sense of entitlement. And this sense of entitlement is like, I deserve, or I should get. I was talking to a person not long ago, and he said, I believe I have a right to be happy. And I said, well, I disagree with you. I said, I don't believe you have any rights. I think anything you get is a gift from God. I don't believe I have a right to be happy. But I believe because of Jesus and his work, I get to be happy. See, the entitlement says I have a right. Why do I not have a right? The reason I don't have a right is I'm a depraved individual. My nature is against God. And what happens is we've gotten to the place that people don't understand the Bible. And if you read the first three books of Romans, you see Paul spent a lot of time telling us we don't deserve anything. Our nature is against God. We were born of the first Adam. And in that first Adam, it made us all sinners. So if you know you don't deserve, then you recognize once you receive, it's a gift. And there becomes a spirit of gratefulness rather than a spirit of entitlement. And that story after story in the Bible goes into that. That's where we see the lepers that were healed. And the 10 lepers and the 5 came back and said, thank you, but 5 didn't. He said, well, what happened to those 5 that were not grateful? We see the story of the prodigal son where he came to himself. And when he came to himself, he said, the servants in my father's house have better than I do, but I gave up my right to sonship, and I'm going to go ask my dad if he'll just let me be a servant. I have abused what my position, and because I abused my position, I'm going to go back and ask if I can just be a son. And it was that spirit of change in him that says, I don't deserve anything from my dad. I just want to go back. And when he went back, his father said, son, you're still a son. But the spirit, the change in him, went from a spirit of entitlement, give me mine so that I may go, till it became a place where I wasted mine. And now that I come to you, Dad, and say, just let me be a servant and serve. And the father says, because of this change I've seen, and he gave him a robe and he killed the fatted calf. And there was a change. Because why? He no longer felt entitled. And we are a nation, we're a group of people, we live in a place and region where we're incredibly blessed. In our nation, we're incredibly blessed. But I am concerned that there is this place in us that we feel like almost people owe us something. People owe us something and we don't value. And I want to say this, we don't value the relationships we have in our life. We don't value the people that God has placed in our lives. John is speaking to this. And when he's speaking to it, he said, now, he talked about life, light. God is light. The word is light. Now, we have the word of God. And we have this word, this Bible in your Bible is the logos. It's the written word. And the written word without the rhema word will become legalism. You will take your Bible and you'll use it to beat other people up. You'll say, this is what it says, bless God. How many of you can do the hack? Ha! You know, you got to do that. Ha! And so, you know, you take the Bible and you misuse the Bible because you take the logos. But he has given us not only the logos, the written word, he has given us the rhema, the inspired word. So I have the logos written, and then you as an individual have the Holy Spirit, which is the inspired word. Now understand, the word and the spirit will agree. And if it doesn't, you get into heresies. So I have the ability to have his written word, and then I have his Holy Spirit living inside of me, and that's the reason I went on the little journey with the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us to bring illumination. But now what happens is if somebody says, when people say, God told me, and somebody says, God told me, I automatically delete that. I just tell them, no, he didn't. And I'm pretty bold about it. Don't tell me God told you. Because what you did is when you told me God told you, you told me I couldn't disagree with you, and that's manipulative. You can tell me, I feel like this. This is how I see it. When I read, this is what I see. This is it. But don't tell me God said, because when you told me God said, you told me I couldn't disagree with you, because if I did, I'm disagreeing with God. And I reserve the right to disagree with everybody, because anything other than that's a cult. Now, this is the reason I want you to understand. You, as a Christian, have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You say, yeah, but I'm not a good Christian. Can I tell you this? You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And the Holy Spirit wants to give illumination to your life. And here's the thing, so you don't stumble. John was writing this and he said, here's what I want you to do, that you don't have to stumble around in life. So the first point of it, we are called to walk in the light. We are absolutely called to walk in his light. John 4:24 says that God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we walk with him. We worship him in the Holy Spirit. We walk with him in the word of God. And then I want you to understand, we are called to walk in light. What does walk in light mean? Walking in light means to walk in illumination, to walk where you can see, to walk where you're not stumbling around. And he says, you don't have to stumble through life. I spent 5 hours between here in Nashville, and Nick and I got into this just talking about it and sharing. So many people are stumbling. He was talking about young people in college and in career vocation, and they're stumbling. You ask, what do you want to do? I don't know what I want to do yet. Well, what are you going to major in? I don't know what I'm going to major in yet. And he said, they're stumbling, and then they're wondering, why aren't things going right for me in my life? Here's another key. They stumble upon a relationship. They come along and all of a sudden they've stumbled upon and it starts a relationship. It wasn't directed. It wasn't sit down and say, here's the reason part of it. Here's what we have in common. And it becomes a stumbled upon relationship. And then when it goes bad, they're saying, I don't know why it ended up the way it ended. Because what? You went into it without illumination. You went into it without light. You went into it without seeing. You made it be what you want it to be, or you felt entitled that I deserve this relationship like everybody else, so you take the first one that comes along. But see, Christ has called us to walk with illumination. He's called us to walk in light. He's called us not to stumble around. So when somebody's stumbling around, it's because they're not walking in light. And if you see the Bible as don'ts and can'ts and then you're missing the whole point. For me, I'll never forget at 17 years of age, reading and a man explaining to me James 1:5. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and he does not withhold. And so since I've been 17 years of age, every day I try to quote that scripture and this is my prayer. Father, you said that if I would ask you, you would give me wisdom. I'm going to face things today that I'm not going to know the answer to. I'm going to encounter people I'm not going to know how to manage or how to what the relationship is for. So I ask you to give me wisdom because your word said that if I would ask for wisdom, you would give it to me. And I can tell you this, now then at 56 years of age, almost 40 years later, after making that a part of my life, I can look and say the journey of my life is where it's at today because I have embraced His Christ giving me wisdom that I don't have on my own. Because His word says if I would ask. So my point here is I want you to see this. The Bible is here to give us wisdom. The Bible is here to give us illumination. At our home every once in a while we have this thing and it just drives me nuts. Because I'm getting older. And so I have to get up in the middle of the night sometimes. And in getting up in the middle of the night, there's this individual at our home that I don't call any names. There's only two of us that live there. That has a tendency to take off their shoes and just leave them right there wherever they're at. And I always find them on the way to the bathroom. Do you know how heels on bare feet in the middle of the night, and I mean these heels, and I'm like, well, I usually end up having a worship session, but it's that, you know why I'm stumbling? Because I don't have light, and I'm using that as a point. Lots of times you're going through life and you're stumbling on things because you're not, your path isn't illuminated. So you're wondering why. So John says, the first thing I want you to understand is God wants you to walk with illumination. That's the first point. God wants you to walk into the light. The second thing I want you to look at is we are called to walk with one another, which here's the thing. God uses other people to help you walk in the light. You ever wonder what your relationships are there for? See, entitlement says everybody's there and you don't understand. You're looking for just how they can make you better. But a relationship is also about how you deny yourself. So you have to make changes. So the more people that's involved in your life, the more changes you have to have in your life. You're going to have to make in life. I want to say this. The more successful you are, the more you have to change you. So when somebody says, well, I'm not changing who I am, I'm like, stumble around. That's your choice. I'm not going to stumble with you. I'm going to make the changes that I have to make in order to be who I need to be. Because when the potter starts molding you, when God starts molding you, did you know he will put people in your life and you're wondering, why are these people here? Because God put them in your life because he's trying to create something in you. I was talking to an individual and they were talking about their job. Their boss said, I don't like my boss. And tell me how hard this person was to work for. And I said, well, you're missing the point. And they said, what do you mean? I said, do you know that when you figure out how to do a great job for that person, you will be incredibly invaluable to other people? But if you're sitting there wanting the boss to change for you, you're never increasing your value. But when you start changing to figure out how do you bring value to the boss, all of a sudden, you begin to be changed. That's important to your future. And you may not see now that what God is doing for in you now is always affecting where you're going to be in the future. So God says, here's the thing. John said, I want you to walk with him. Look at this. If we claim that we experience a shared life with him and continue to stumble around the dark, we are obviously lying through our teeth. We're not living what we claim. But if we walk in the light, God himself being the light, we also experience a shared life with one another. One of the first things you notice about somebody that has a sense of entitlement is they want to get by themselves for. They want, and I'm going to say this, as Christians, this whole sense of we got to withdraw because the world's bad and it's dark and we got to get our kids away from all that, that's stupid. I'm going to tell you why. We are called to be in the world to make a difference. And the world, I have power over darkness. Darkness does not have power over me. I want you to understand that. I see so many Christians have this timid thing. We're afraid. It's getting bad out here. I'm not afraid because I can walk in the light. And because I can walk in the light, I have the light living in me. I don't have to be afraid of the future. I don't have to be afraid of what's going on in the world. Denise would tell you, I was never afraid for our kids and how they were going to turn out. I'm very pleased with how they've turned out. They love the Word. They love God. Nicholas grew up with most of his friends not being believers. And because he grew up in an environment where most of his friends were not believers, he has a keen grasp and understanding of the Word of God because he had to learn why he believed what he believed. And so when we understand it is that... We go in, and John says, the light is living in you. Why is the light living in you? So that you may walk out the shared life together. And so ascetics, when an ascetic is like a monk, he gets away from people and they live in by themselves. And the excuse is, I just want to be closer to God. But John's saying, if you really want to get close to God, you have to come together. You have to live in community. Do you know that's what the church is? The church is about living in community. And I tell people this when they say, well, I don't want to go to a church because I know how those people are. Yes. Yes. That's how they are. And it's those very people that God wants you engaged with so you become better. Because it's as walking in the light one with another. Now, I want to walk on into this. C.S. Lewis says this. He says, no man knows how bad he is until he has tried to be good. Now, why is that important? Because a shared life is about building values. It's about understanding your need for others. And listen to this. It's about learning how to communicate and relate to others. As this pastor, the church was in a building process, and they were needing money. And it seems like all of us pastors are that way. But this guy came up and he said, "Pastor, my brother died. And my brother's not been a good man. But I owe my brother a lot. And I want you to speak at his funeral. And if you will somehow work it in and talk about him being a saint, I'll give the church $1 million. Well, pastor got thinking about it, and he thought, man, I don't know. So you weigh it out. Building program, call the guy saint. Pastor said, okay, I'll do the funeral. And he got up at the funeral, and he was talking. And he said, now, old Joe here, we all know Joe was a dirty, rotten scoundrel. We all know he was crook. We all know that Joe did things that nobody ought to do. But compared to his brother, he was a saint. See, life teaches you how to relate to one another. So when we laugh about that, what I want you to understand is God has called us as individuals to walk in a community, and that community is learning to build values. And then Paul said, now here's the, or Paul, I keep going, Paul, John. John went on and he said this, we are called to walk in forgiveness. And here's why. The only way the illumination of Christ can show through you is to walk with others. And the only way you can walk with others is to walk in forgiveness. Because I'm going to tell you something, people will test you and try you. There's nowhere in life you're going to be tested on whether you're a believer or not as when you get engaged with people. People will hurt you. People will say things. They're going to do things. And you've got to choose whether you're going to walk in forgiveness or walk in bitterness. And when you choose to walk in forgiveness, it's amazing what takes place in your life. John looked at this and he says, I want you to understand, I'm one of those. And he said, the reason he kept emphasizing how we're sinners, because if you don't understand how bad you are, you will always be making yourself better than others. And when you make yourself better than others, you cannot walk in forgiveness. And you just got to look and say, I know. John says, understand we. He used that personal pronoun, we. And he kept emphasizing we. And when he would go into the we, I want to read this one more time. If we claim that we're free from sin, we're only fooling ourselves. So here's the thing. When I understand my plight, my wretchedness, it gives me the ability to embrace others who are just as wretched as I am. I am not entitled. I am just grateful. And you know what forgiveness does for you? I think this is beautiful. I got this from Mayo Clinic. It says, letting go of grudges and bitterness can make way for happiness, health, and peace. Forgiveness leads to healthier relationships, greater spiritual and psychological well-being, less anxiety, stress, and hostility, lower blood pressure, fewer symptoms of depression, a stronger immune system, improved heart health, and higher self-esteem. That's what happens when you learn to forgive. And John said, here's the thing. I want you to walk your life without stumbling around. I want you to be able to engage life without tripping up all the time. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is, number one, recognize he is light and allow that light to shine in your life. And how was he seeing his light? He and his word are inseparable. That's the reason why you take a Bible study. It's the reason why I would encourage, and I encourage my kids, Proverbs is easy to read. Get up every morning and read out of Proverbs. It'll give you wisdom for life. It will help you in your journey. Read out of the book of Proverbs. It will bring illumination to your life. So what happens? You begin to read. Illumination comes. So he said, Christ is life, and that light is the light of men. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was that life, and that life was the light of men. This is where light comes from. The Bible, it's not a bunch of don'ts and can'ts and all that. It's about bringing illumination to your life. So as you begin to look, your life begins to light up. You're not stumbling around. You begin to have direction. Now then, you start seeing the people God has put in your life are placed there for a reason. Even the folks that you're challenged by, they're put there for a reason. And you start saying, God, what is this person in my life for? Why did you bring them into my life? What's the value of this? And when you start understanding that, you stop tripping and stumbling around. You start seeing this is why this has happened. It's that connectedness. You start seeing how things are connected in your life. And then he says, but I want you to understand, if you think that you're going to walk this way and you're not going to walk in forgiveness, it won't happen. Because the only way you're going to be able to walk with people is if you understand, first, you are a sinner. And you're not entitled to anything. And secondly, after that, you walk in the forgiveness. Now, what does forgiveness mean? Forgiveness does not mean you have to go out and have a relationship with that person that you've had to forgive. In fact, we learn from Joseph. Joseph did not, his brothers did him wrong. Joseph forgave them. He went on and walked in the light. And you know what he did? He did it with Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Light came in his life. See, God will sometimes engage you with people who are different than you. In fact, most of the time, God will engage you with people different than you. So you begin to connect up. Why is it that God does that? Because when you're engaged with people different than you, you have to have a spirit of forgiveness. You have to have a spirit of openness. And so I wrap this message up with saying this. Over the next year, I purpose in my heart, I'm going to bring speakers to our church that are different. I'm going to bring people into our church and speak to our congregation that's going to challenge us. Because why? I want you to be challenged. I want you to start looking into the Bible. I want you to start looking and say, what do I believe? What's God speaking to me through His Word? And I want us to, as a church, to be challenged. Not just be happy with patty caking for Jesus while we're stumbling around. I want us to walk with light and illumination. Then the other thing, I want to challenge you personally. Who have you invited in your home that's different from you this past year? Have you invited people into your home who have a different ethnicity than you? If you hadn't, you should. We got a greeting from Baris Ilimesi. Did I say the name right? Okay. And Baris is from Turkey. And Baris is Muslim. And we got a Christmas greeting. Now, that's pretty significant. But here's what's significant about it. Nicholas said, Dad, I remember you coming home and saying, hey, y'all, we got a young man from Turkey going to come be living with us. And he's Muslim. And he said, it made me so mad. He said, I didn't want to share my bedroom with anybody. And he said, I certainly didn't want to be sharing it with some kid from Turkey who was Muslim. But you know what's happened? Because their world was expanded, that young man is still a dear friend to my kids today. And if they go to Europe, Baris wants to hook up with them and get connected. And Baris got to come and be in church with us and hang out with us and build relationship with us. Why? Because we were willing to reach out different. When we invited Thomas to come and live with us from Germany. Thomas is from Germany. Thomas is Catholic. And he came in. He stayed with us for a little while as an exchange student. And why? Now then my kids are friends with Thomas and they go to Germany. Thomas has a flat for them to stay in Berlin. And so their world was expanded because they had somebody different engaged in their world. And my question to you is, can you expect to walk in light with everybody around you is just like you? It's probably not going to happen. Daniel had to connect up to Nebuchadnezzar for his true light to shine. Joseph had to connect up to Pharaoh for his true light to shine. And you're going to find that if your light's going to shine, you're going to connect up with people that's probably going to be radically different from you. But that's how your light shines. That's what brings illumination to your life. So I want to challenge you. Over this next year, start thinking, how can I connect up with people who think differently than me? Bring people, sit around the table, people who have a different view of politics than you do. And listen to them. Bring people around the table that have a different ethnic background than you do. And listen, I'll never forget it, Denise telling me, she said, I've got a young lady coming home to over to the house tonight. And I said, you do? She said, yeah. She said, she's from China. And she said, I'm going to learn Chinese. Oh? And so this lady comes over to the house, and I hear them in there, and next thing I know, I hear this young lady weeping. She's crying. My wife is speaking into her life and getting to share. She came to teach Denise Chinese, and ends up now she and her family are part of our church family here, and she is a Christian. And it happened because somehow my wife got a wild hair that she's going to learn Mandarin. It was funny because I'd be in the bedroom, I'd be listening to them. And it was interesting hearing that conversation. But my wife was willing to expand her world differently. And you know what? I challenge you. Expand your world. Think differently. Get out of your box. And walk in the light as He is the light. And then you'll have fellowship one with another. Let us pray. Father, today I ask your Holy Spirit to challenge us. Challenge us to think differently, look differently, and to trust your word and your Holy Spirit in our life. We do not have to be afraid. We don't have to be anxious. We can walk with boldness. We can walk with faith, because you want to bring light in our life. Help us see clearly. And I pray you will use your word to inspire, teach, and encourage individuals here today. We honor you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.